All right, Bang Bang, today is February 5th. It is a Tuesday, Chicago Dog Walk. Eddie here. My guest of the day is Carl.
Bang Bang, how are you, Ed?
Good. It's good to be back with the boys. I was up in Wisconsin for a little bit. Now I'm back in the office with you.
How was snowmobiling?
It was cool, dude. It was. I'm not like the most extreme sports guy, you know, kind of a couch guy, you know. And it's that stuff's relatively not for me, but it was fun. Like, there are definitely fun aspects of it. I kind of feel a little under the weather today. Because who would have thought when it's like negative 10 out and you got like the wind visor open and wind's blowing in your face, you'd get a little bit of a cold, you know? So
yeah, it has nothing to do with the responsible Miller Lite you enjoyed.
Yeah, no, nothing to do with that, which maybe those played a little part.
Well, we're glad you are safe and back.
Yeah, thank you for that. So today we're going to highlight a blog that Carl wrote last Friday, very relatable to most young men. We actually touched on gambling a little bit in the Friday's dog walk with the squares and scratch cards and all that. This is more about the bookie style gambling. Everyone's got a good bookie story, and I want you to go back and read Carl's blog. It was Friday afternoon or Friday morning?
Yeah, it was Friday afternoon. It's called The Bookie Chronicles. No, Friday morning, yeah, 11 a.m. post.
11 a.m. post. Real good blog. Just who's dinging? Dave, is that you dinging?
I had a dinger.
All right, wait, someone's dinging here.
It's the new computer from Barstool. I haven't
set up
the
settings
yet.
All right, all right. Well, if you hear random dings, all right, you know why. We got a computer on the loose here. But regardless, first off, the stories were great. This is tough to talk about with if people who haven't read it. So like I said, like press pause, go read it. If not, we could slither through the stories pretty well. My favorite one was definitely the high school kid.
Yeah, the high school kid.
Yeah, the high school kid. He was a classic Orland Park. I feel like Orland Park is like the theme of the show at this point.
Yeah, so you and I feel like we end up talking about Orland Park a lot. I used to work in Orland Park. I got family in Orland Park. I know him a lot. The great thing about the high school story that made me laugh out loud is that he said in the very beginning, he's like, we won a couple $100 after like the first or second week. And we're walking around feeling invincible, walking down the hall of the high school with our dicks hanging out of our pants, thinking, I'm the fucking man. I'll kill any bookmaker. Now, just the idea of a 16-year-old walking around Carl Sandburg High School or Stag or wherever this guy went. Fucking hilarious, man.
Did you gamble in high school?
You know, I dabbled a little bit in college, but being like a baseball player at Illinois, I was like very straight-laced about like what I was and wasn't doing. My buddies on the team were fucking degenerates. One guy on the team was a bookie for like 10 guys on the team and didn't know shit about sports gambling, just got his ass handed to him every week. So I was around it, but I was like, I'm not fucking...
You're not going to do this because had higher aspirations. You want to be a baseball star, you know, get a scholarship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I was in graduate school, Eddie. Fuck you.
No, I'm saying in high school, like, did you... So nothing at Brother Rice.
In high school, no, I wasn't sniffing that.
Was anybody else doing it, though? Like, do you remember?
You know, maybe, like, a couple kids that had, like, older brothers and stuff like that. But that wasn't, like, on the South Side, we were more about just, like, going to, like, Beverly Park or, like, Park Lawn or, like, whatever the fucking park was for the weekend and getting drunk and... That was really it. We not a lot of sports gambling in high school, Ed.
What's your system like right now? What you bet on? Is it like a roll every month you pay out, or is it a weekly thing?
I have a balance plus or minus 1,000, and so my max play is 500. Your typical units $50 to $100, depending on how much you really like something. I do have a bookie. He keeps a website, and so the website's like all run online, but then, you know, you meet face to face and shit, and then he's, you know, some low level fucking kid.
And do you pride yourself as like a big gambler, small time? Like, are you really getting in depth with these lines?
No.
You're just like, you know, this guy's out, this team beat that team, so this team's for sure going to win tonight.
So my favorite time to gamble is when it's like prime time, and I know I'm going to be home, and I'm going to be throwing like a steak on the grill or something, and like I don't have anything going on. I know I'm just going to be hanging out with Scotty. Like, perfect example, Super Bowl, you know, those AFC, NFC championships. That's the prime for me. But then also like gambling on Saturday mornings for college basketball. I love those. I'm not that serious. Like, I'm definitely not trying to turn a profit. You know, like, yeah. I got killed this year in the NFL. And, like, that's okay. I'm not betting the mortgage. You're, like, putting the house on it.
How'd you do in the Super Bowl? What'd you hit?
Oh,
what'd
dude, I'm with Big Cat in the annals of history. I took the over.
Oh, on the okay.
Yeah, that was my biggest play was the over. I got crushed on props. I did have the pat, so there's no way because, you know, I think Big Cat said it best where it's like, would you like to be the guy in the fourth quarter that realizes that he's, like, going to lose on Tom Brady, or would you rather, like, you know, lose with Jared Goff? And it's like, yeah.
That's true. I had a buddy who tried to talk me into the alternate over of 99, over 99 points for like plus like 1,000 or something.
Yeah.
And he was just like all week. He's like, dude, that's good odds. You know, I could see like a 56, 51 shootout, you know, no, this and that.
Yeah. No, Bill Belichick had different plans. He's 16 points. Here you go, Roger.
And he ended up taking an alternate over for like 71, and we were just laughing at him the whole game. And it's one of those ones where you could laugh at him, and he could also laugh because it's such a bad.
Like, horrendous. It's such, I mean, 48.5 points.
Yeah.
From like the regular line. So he was off. He was off by 84 points on the fucking.
I hit at the end there. I had over one field goal miss for plus 425. That Zerline at the end fucking banged it in, banged it off wherever. I don't even think he hit the post. Never mind. But him missing that was just beautiful win with 7 seconds left. It looked like it had no shot at the time.
Yeah. I can imagine you being like in the room full of quiet people like, this Super Bowl sucked. And there's that in the corner like, all right, baby.
Yeah, exactly. We were all pumped. A couple of us were on it. So that was fun. I hit a reverse square for 1,000.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
3-0, second quarter.
Yeah. So what'd you do with the money? Did you take your boys out at all yet? Or?
I haven't done it yet. So we're all split. There's three of us in on it. So like we don't get 1,000 each. It's 300 each, 350, whatever.
Go to some like Japanese steakhouse, hibachi grill this weekend.
Yeah, possibly hit Chinatown, maybe some banchan chicken, something like that.
Attaboy.
Have to get the sake going. Uh-huh. But as far as have you ever had any experience booking yourself?
No. Now, we've gone back and forth, my buddies. Now, I think Dave and I were talking about this recently, where it's like, man, wouldn't it be like we should be bookies? You know, we got all these like guys, and we get a lot of emails, a lot of DMs. It'd be so easy to run our own book, and it's just a clusterfuck, man. Like, I had a buddy who had to close his book because. It was just like a random Sunday. He got drunk during the day and like did not hedge against some afternoon NFL fucking game. And like it was a money line play. And he ended up taking like a $30,000 loss on it. And just like, that's it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have $30,000 cash. It's like, I didn't see this coming. I could have hedged it on, you know, my other site. That's typically what you do if you're booked. Like, you got to be on top of your shit. You got to be really fucking organized. Or you have to have a stable of idiots that are just like throwing money away, and that's such a risky pro. I have a lot of respect for bookies. Let's
say that. It's a lot harder than you think because you got to figure out what kind of bookie you are. What line are you going to take? It's a lot easier now if you're one of these people with the websites. That's easily the way to go. It locks in for you. You get a timestamp, and you don't even have to worry about the line movements. But back in the day, I booked for a little bit in college.
Yeah, shocker.
Just, you know, the house bookie, nothing crazy, probably about 20, 30 kids, and not big money at all. We're talking college kids, so, you know, whatever, $20, $50, whatever. And the amount of times these fuckers would try to sneak through the cracks, because I did it all off, like, scores and odds or something, and they would try to send me a line that was, like, horse shit.
Trash.
Yes. Like, exactly. It was like, I'm going to have to start being an asshole and giving you the bet wherever the line closes on, because so many people want to take advantage of that shit.
Oh, it's that. That would be, without a doubt, the worst part, especially in college with your buddies that are trying to take advantage of you. My first bookie experience was you'd have to call into, you know, like a dead voice line. And then now that's why Redline Radio opens good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, Chicago sports fans, because my first bookie ever, you'd call and it would go to voicemail. And the guy'd be like, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, NFL fans. You're at Alliance Sunday, December 6th.
That was my next question. Was it NFL, like, or was it Chicago sports fans? Was it just degenerate gamblers?
It was whatever the day was. College basketball. Okay. So the best would be like the February Saturday college basketball. It would be like college basketball fans. And then he'd read off the 11 and the ones. And it would take like, fuck, you'd have to call back. You know, like, it was just, it was a...
So it was all voicemail.
It's all, and then those are the numbers, and then beep, and then you'd say, hey, this is, you know, Mike number 6, Mike number whatever, and you'd say, you know, 100 on NC State. You know, you just have to rattle it off and write it down. So it would probably take like 15, 20 minutes to get your bets in. It's not like now where it's like 11:58 and you're like, oh, fuck. You know, you're texting your buddies like, you guys hear anything?
Yeah, like you knew a certain time, like, well, the voice message is 7 minutes long, so we got to put the noon games in right. At least 7:52.
Right, he's reading the threes. Yeah. Hang up and call back. Exactly. He's reading the threes.
Exactly. Do you think any guys still run on that system?
You know, I actually had this funny thought of like how – so to answer the question, no. And the guys that are it's a dying breed. You know, it's like probably your dad's calling in the voice line. Yeah. I think it's stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, voicemails in general are just dead.
Yeah, the telephone's dying.
Yeah, yeah.
Do your parents still have a telephone in their home?
No, got rid of it.
Yep.
They got rid of it. It's gone. How about yours?
They do, but I think it's because they get a discount on the internet and the cable with it or something.
Really?
Yeah, oh, like they lock in like a lifetime.
Makes zero sense. It's like $10 cheaper if you get a phone. Like it should be the opposite.
Yeah. Why? It's because they're listening in.
Could be.
Yeah.
It honestly could be.
I'm the conspiracy
guy. Dad used to love the voice messages, though. He'd like leave trivia questions on there and shit. Like,
man. Did he have like the machine with like the tapes and stuff? Or?
Yeah, that's exactly what he had. And he'd leave it. He's like, all right, tell me this. The 1978 World Series for a nice ice cold Snapple. Who was this? Who put the home run in game four of this whatever? He played third base, and then he like answered the question. You got a free Snapple.
Well,
if you saw
like trivia
time.
On the spot. When we did the live show, you had trivia questions prepared. Yeah. I didn't like when you'd call your buddy or you'd call somebody and be like, hello?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, hey, what's up, man? You know, like, I'm thinking about coming by around 6. I'm not here right now.
Oh,
that
dude.
Was a big 7th, 8th grade joke when you started getting phones.
That was huge. That was a motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's that brings me back, dude. That was a good call right there. I like that. Did you have any horror stories, any bad gambling stories where you were just like, fuck, man?
All right, so I got weird into like the online casino thing for like a 3-day stretch, maybe like 4 years ago. And Dave's laughing. Dude, the details of the story will never be fully disclosed. It was bad.
For your sake.
For my sake, I probably played like 12,000 hands of blackjack in like a 48-hour period. Most of them were like 6-7 hour spurts. Like it was just an awful. It was like a Friday, I like ditched work. I just got like hooked on it.
Mm-hmm.
The balance went all the way down. I mean, like down big, past 1,000, past 2, past 3. Wait, but where my bookie was like, dude, what are you doing on the Russian gaming website? Like I had never even touched this stuff, but it's like fucking crack. I end up zeroing it out. I'm not going to get into the it's so embarrassing, but I ended up taking it down so fucking bad. I was down to like my last $50 and then played it all the way back. Zero out, made like $6,000 in like a 3-hour window of time. And my now wife, we were dating. I was supposed to go over to her place on a Sunday for dinner. And it was like, I'm making dinner at 7. I didn't get over there till like 10:30. You know, like I smell like Marlboro Lights. It's like, what's wrong with you? Like I just been drinking coffee for 3 straight days, smoking cigs, like trying to play blackjack.
Now, I know the entirety of this story. I understand why you got to have to censor a little bit. I just want to let the people know it's much better than that. But obviously, you can't say, you know, he's got a wife. He's got a dog named Scotty. Like, Scotty would hate to hear this.
I mean, it's so like the most degenerate. Like, think of the most degenerate behavior that you can possibly have. You get sucked in. I'll have a story this week from a guy who got sucked in. I can relate to it. I got sucked in literally for like 3 straight days in my 1-bedroom apartment in Westtown, like, took off work, didn't do shit. Like, it was a fucking rabbit hole. I get out of there, zero it out. Scout's fucking on her. Call my bookie. He was like, turn that thing off. I never want to see that thing again.
You're out.
Every now and then, I'll get that itch. Every now and then, I get the itch to play blackjack. But, like, that is a fucking crutch for me, man. Like, even when I was out at the Horseshoe this last Wednesday, like, I sat down at the table. And then after, like, 20 minutes, Dante was like, yo, dude, like, we gotta fucking go.
It's
not, like, big bets. It's just the volume, man. Like, I'll play 3. Like, let's get it going. Like, I love that.
Yeah,
stuff.
You just want to play for a while. So, I just love playing cards.
What
just
about you? You got a bad bookie one?
I have a bad situation. It doesn't have the result of me being a bookie, but it was definitely a shitty spot in, like, one of my most memorable stories, I guess, was this probably happened 3 or so years ago. I was asked by somebody I know, the guy, I'll leave it as, he is a Chicago media guy. That says enough without, obviously, there's a million of them, without really revealing who he is. But I was approached by him one day, and he asked me if I would do him a favor. I was like, sure, you know, I like helping people out. Why not? It surely can't be that bad. And he's like, well, I know you gamble. I'm kind of in a situation where I need someone to pick up some money for me. I was like, oh, like, I figure. And like my radars are on, but they're not completely on right now because he was a guy I didn't think he would kind of fuck me over like this. And he's like, well, I'm owed 10 grand from this restaurant. Would you mind just stopping by one day just to go pick it up? And I was like, all right, you know, that's kind of why would you not pick it up, this and that? He's like, it's a long story, like this and that. I was like, all right, fine, whatever. I'll go in there and I'll pick up the 10 grand. So the day goes on and we meet at the restaurant and he's like, he was like, here's the thing. I'll give you $100 out of it too. Like, it's just for your inconvenience. I was like, sure. So we get to the restaurant. We walk in. I meet the guy. I forget exactly what the guy's name is. Alfred. We'll call him Alfred.
How old?
Alfred. You know, Alfred's probably like a mid-50s guy. You know, he's real Italian-looking guy. And as soon as I show up, is when I started to get sketched out, though. Sorry, let me rewind for 1 second here. I remember going down, you know, you're driving around with your parents as you're a kid, and you see restaurants. Hey, Dad, what was that? What was that? You know, this and that. And I remember back in the day, he told me this restaurant. He said, that's a restaurant where everything came in through the back door. And I was
okay.
Like, the back door? I was like, what do you mean by that? He's like, well, let's just say there's a lot of people went through the back door. The grand piano came in through the back door, and nobody really came in through the front. So that could kind of tell you what kind of place it was. That's the restaurant that I ended up showing up at.
Backdoor restaurant.
Backdoor restaurant. So I instantly know, I'm like, whoa, like this is a lot more than I thought I'm getting into. And so I meet the guy, Alfred, and he goes, okay, you know, nice to meet you, this and that. And I got a little prep before on the corner from the guy who I was getting the money for. He's like, hey, there's the deal. Just tell him that you are my buddy from college, and you just you had a good week. You got hot, and you'd like to open up an account. And this and that. And I said, all right, fine. And then I kind of asked him, like, well, don't we kind of need to be on the same page? Like, shouldn't I know what kind of bets you were making? Or wasn't there, like, something that I should – I don't feel as prepared as I
should.
Right,
you don't want to go in there, like, empty-handed, just like a total fish.
Exactly. So, whatever. So, I shake the guy's hand, and he goes, all right, let's go upstairs. So, as soon as I and the other guy, we try to walk upstairs, he puts his arm out, and he stops the guy from coming upstairs with us. He's like, no, you stay down here. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So, it's me and this guy, and I'm like – what is, you know, like now it's like getting kind of shady. We go up to the top room. It's like a banquet hall, you know, a place you rent out for parties, and it's pitch dark. Just a little bar in the corner, and I'm like, man, this is fucked up. And he brings me into the corner. He dims like a spotlight, like, you know, one of those little tourney lights that you, you could like adjust, you know, up and down, and it's just dimmed, and it's just like dimmed like directly over me, like I'm getting fucking interrogated. He's like, so how do you know him? How do you know this guy? Like this and that, blah, blah, blah. Ah, you know, this and that. I just had a good week. He's like, all right, yeah, no problem. He's like, I just want to make sure it's not for him. He's like, you know, he owes a lot of money to people in this town, this and that, and I don't even want, like, and I'm not going to pay him, so, but I'll pay you. I have no problem doing that. Like, oh, yeah, no problem. It's not for him. It's for me. And I instantly, like, I knew much deeper of a situation I was in at that point because the guy fucking was a scumbag and I was trying to help him out. And I knew why this guy brought me in and I knew why he had to go through these fucking loopholes to get the money. So he looks at me and Alfred goes, so are you going to keep playing the teasers and the round robins? I'm like, eh, you know, I'll probably just keep doing what I did last week. You know, I'll probably play a couple more of those. And he goes, oh, and he turns over. He looks me in the eyes. He goes, oh, because, you know, we don't take teasers and round robins.
Yeah, I was just making sure you knew that, Alfred. Yeah,
exactly. So
holy
I don't even.
Fuck, man. And
I don't
then
know.
You got whacked with a pipe or.
I swear to God, dude, I never felt like I was closer to death than that. I was waiting for a guy to come from behind with a baseball bat and crack me over the head. I don't even know what I said to get out of it, but just the conversation just quickly ended and it ended up with me leaving. And he said he was going to meet me up the next day to pay me. But I instantly knew, I was like, I'm in some shit now. You can't just go up there. And the guy, he played it perfectly.
Yeah.
Where, and we did not play it perfectly at all, where I should have known these bets earlier. And then if it was that case, if I needed to study, like it was a fucking history quiz, I definitely would have knew something was up then, but regardless.
So lesson learned, would next time you'll be more prepared or next time you won't make the pickup?
Next time I won't make the pickup. I mean, if there's a reason a guy
can't.
What'd
you wear to the pickup?
I wore the pickup. I actually was going straight to a Sox game. So I was just like in jeans and like,
okay,
like a t-shirt and a whatever, a jacket. It was a September game. I still remember. And so I walk out and he's like, oh, that was great. You did a good job. This and that. You killed it. I was like, I don't know about that, dude. I was like, that was pretty fucking shady. Like, I think you're up to something else. Like, I'm out. Give me my $100. I'm leaving. He's like, let me know when the guy wants to meet up, whatever. And so he's having me text the guy and coordinate like another pickup. I was like, yo, dude, I'm like, if he doesn't want to meet up today, like I'm out. I'm not doing this shit again. And I swear to God, dude, that night I went home. And right when I pulled up in my parking spot, there was a car with his lights killed right in front of it. And it zoomed off as soon as I pulled up. No shit. On my life. God is my witness. And like, don't get me wrong. It was probably nothing. I was probably just freaking myself out.
Yeah, probably nothing. Come on, you know.
Dude, it was fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it was Alfred and Sale.
Yeah, because you're sitting there, you're like, instantly, you're like, I'm in, like, and I think I was wearing like a high school sweatshirt too, like under the jacket. It's like, oh yeah, you go to St. Pete, so, you know, I got some family over there. So instantly I'm identified as like a fucking dude from that northwest side of Chicago. So
now,
it was pretty shady.
I would say that the problem I have with the state in the government taking on sports gambling is we're not going to have these stories or experiences. Like, I'm going to be telling my kids, like, yeah, you know, my buddy Eddie almost got killed one time.
Yeah.
And one of my buddies, like, his dad is like a connected guy, knows a lot of people, and they've got just like, you know, pages upon pages of, you know, stories. Not actually pages, but
yeah. Right, it so, was, yeah.
And so the two that really stand out as far as like collecting, because a lot of people, it's like, well, yo, your bookie money, you're gonna get your ass kicked, like you're gonna wake up in a fucking, you know, grave, buried alive, like you're gonna get fucking killed, whatever. There are other creative ways to collect money. So these two ones kind of stand out. One time, a guy owed like 20 grand or something, and so the bookie just had the guy's car stolen from his garage and was like, if you want your BMW back, I want $20,000 in cash. Otherwise, like, you're gonna go file a missing, you're gonna file like a stolen car report, and the fucking police officers that are gonna show up are gonna be the same guys who stole the fucking car. So like,
that's a great way. You know, you're not hurt anybody, you just take their
car. Just take the car. The other one, I got an off duty, some law enforcement of some particular, I'm not sure if it's CPD or whatever, but off duty cop dressing up as a prostitute and then going to the front door and being like, I'm here for, you know, John or whatever. And like, the wife answers the door and is like, what the fuck? And it's like, clearly a man, clearly dressed as a woman, clearly intended to look like a hooker. And the guy shows up to the front door and the person there to collect, like the hooker's like, you think this is fucking weird? If we don't get fucking 15 grand, I swear to fucking God, your wife's going to be asking a lot more fucking questions about who you are.
Fuck.
And then leave. So, like, as soon as that door closes, what do you think that conversation? Who was that?
Yeah, that's tough. You're definitely going to miss those stories once it's legalized.
So if you have collection stories, like, one of my favorites from the blog I wrote was, like, the kid who worked at the high school kid who, like, worked at the park district or something and, like, gets an announcement. Hey, there's a parent up at the front desk who wants to sign a kid up for camp. And the kid, like, walks up to the front desk to sign it. And it's, like, his fucking bookie standing there, like, where's my money?
It's like the all-time horror movie.
So if you got good collection stories, send those to Carl at Barstool or Eddie at Barstool.
Yeah, Eddie at Barstool. That's funny because usually like that story takes a turn. It's like a woman getting stalked. Ours is like we're getting stalked by a man who we owe thousands of dollars
to. Yeah, hilarious stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. Thanks for coming on, Carl. Also, the story ended. I never got the money from the guy. He never paid me.
I'm sorry.
No, it just kind of died. No, it's fine. Like it didn't go anywhere exciting anyway. So, but yeah, it just kind of died. And I kept my $100 and I went on with my way. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening. That is Tuesday, February 5th. We'll see you tomorrow.